Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi Maseches Bava Kama Daf Yud Aleph. We got up to the last line of Yud Amud Beis. Leima Pachas Nevela Tanoihi. So in yesterday's Daf, we learned that although it is typical standard procedure for a mazik to use any sort of form of payment, any sort of commodity to pay for that damage. Afilu subin, you can use even bran. And certainly you can allow the nizak, the victim of the hezek, to just hold on to the nevel of the carcass, the shur that was killed during this episode. So that's standard, that's pashut. But when the Torah adds the words v'hameis yeloi, the mace belongs to him, to the nizak, the Torah here is teaching us that aside from the actual fact that he can obligate the nizak to hold on to that nevela and discount the value of that nevela from his bill, there's more than that. Pechas nevela. Even the loss of value that occurred between the actual episode where the shur was killed and the moment where he was obligated to pay for that damage via Bezdin, there was a reduction in value, there was a loss due to spoilage, etc. It's on the Nizak. So basically the Mazik will discount from his bill the value of that nevela at the time of the episode. So it was worth 100 then, even though it's down to 75, the mazik gets a $100 reduction from his bill. So perhaps, says the Gemara, this is really not so simple. It's a machlekes tanoim, this concept of pechas nevela, loss of value, depreciation, being on the nizak, perhaps that's not so simple. Leima pechas nevela tanoim, perhaps it's machlekes tanoim. Who incurs that loss of value? This on you have a price. Im toreif yitoreif yivyeyu aid. This is a shamir sachar, hired to watch an animal. It was attacked, it was killed by another animal. Yavi aid. What does that mean? Tanakama explains. Well, it was out of his control. It was an oynas, shamir sachar's potter. Yavi aidem. All he needs to do is bring some witnesses to prove his case that in fact, Shenitrifa Boinus was attacked. Boinus, totally out of his control. Upater, this exempts him. Abu Shalimer, he has a different way of learning the pasuk. Aid, Yavi aid means Yavi Aduda Lebezn, Rashi says Aduda Lashon of Nevela, the remnant, the Shalal, the Luta, the remnant. He brings it to Bezn. Who brings who to Bezn? The Mazik. We're not speaking about an oynes, otherwise there's no need to pay, of course. Rather, Abishol is sort of shifting gears. We're speaking that the Shema Sachar was negligent, he was careless, he was peishaya, and he's responsible for the consequences. He has to pay for the lost animal. But he gets a reduction. Whatever the animal was worth at the time of the attack, at the time of the Misa, that's what gets deducted from the Shemir Sacha's bill. In this case, the Shemir Sacha is like the Mazik, because he was responsible. So, he gets that fee reduction. And that's the point of bringing the Nevela to Bezin. Basically, hurry up. As soon as it happens, run with the Nevela to Bezin. Look, it's worth 100. I want that to be deducted from my bill. And that's who? Abishol speaking, as opposed to the Tanakamo, who did not have this type of interpretation of the pasuk. And according to the Tanakamo, we have no source that pchas nevelo, any further depreciation in value of that nevelo, will be billed to the nizik, will be on the nizik. We have no source for that. My love, Bakamithli. So it would appear that the machlekes revolves around this question: who incurs that loss of value? The Maros Savar pchas nevelo de nizik havi. Abishol holds the pchas nevela, loss of value, subsequent to the incident, is on the nizak. And therefore Abishol says, hurry up, bring the nevela to Bezin. let them appraise the Nevela now for its current value, because what happens later is not my, it's not on me, it's on the Nizek. Umar Savar the Mazakavi, Tanakamo does not have this drasha, learns no. Until you actually go ahead and pay with this Nevela, any loss of value is on you. Whatever it's worth at the time of, you know, payment, fine. It's worth 75 today. You get a reduction of 75 from your bill. But just because it was worth 100 at the time of the incident doesn't help you. Umar Sabah the Mazak, the Mazak loses that depreciation. So is it so? Is it a machlekes tanoim? Loi, says the Gemara, kuli am the Nizak. Perhaps all agree the Nizak has to carry that loss. Machlekes is simply a question of who has to make the effort to bring the Nevela from where it was, you know, killed to the bring it, you know, into town, bring it to where it's, you know, has value. Vatanya, in fact, we have a braisa that discusses this very point. Achirim Oimrim, Menayin Shal Ba'al Habor, Lahalois Shoyer Mibor. How do we know that the owner of the pit in which the animal was killed has to actually get a crane, extract the nevela, and bring it out of the bor and give it to the owner? He must repay, and also the mace. You have to pay the money and the mace. You have to get the mace out and bring it back to the owner. So that's the shita of Achirim. And likewise, Abishol says the same thing. You have to bring the nevela. Right? You have to retrieve the lost animal. Whereas the Tanakama does not have that drasha. Amalei Abaye L'Rava. I don't understand what's going on. We're obligating the Mazik to recover the animal. Hai Torach the Nevela Hechidami. Why? What's going on with the Tircha for the Nevela? Ilema de Bebiro Shav Yezuzim. Shall we say that down in the pit, the carcass is worth $1. Va'gudu Shav Yarba. And up on the top of the pit, outside, it's worth $4. Well, obviously, he's going to putting the effort to get it out, because it's all his gain. The Mazik will get now, you know, more gain by having the Nevela extracted. Ki Torach b'de nafshei Torach. His toil, his effort is for his own sake. We don't have to obligate him to do that. Amar Leis, so Rava responds, Leisricha must be speaking to Bebira Shav Yezuza. Down in the pit, it's worth $1. Agud Enavi Shav Yezuza. And out of the pit, it's also worth $1. So really, he has no monetary gain for by bringing the Nevela out, and that's what the Torah has to obligate him to do so. Is there such a situation where down in the pit it's worth the same as outside, despite the fact that you need, you know, get a crane to pull him out? Yep. It actually is true. It can happen. The Amri Inshi, as people say, Keshura, a joist, a beam, B'masa, B'zuzu. In town, in the lumber yard, it's worth a zuz. Keshura b'dabra, b'zuzah likewise. Out in the field, in the forest, also worth a zuz, despite the fact that there is transportation costs, because in terms of the actual value of the actual item, it's the same. Amar Shmuel. Although we learn that when it comes to nizakin, you can get credit. You can be credited for the value of the broken item or the killed animal, right? So that's deducted from the perpetrator's bill. But it's specific to a mazik. Omar Shmuel Ein Sham. We don't do that. We don't evaluate and estimate and appraise the lost broken item here and credit it to your bill. Lo leganav, lo legazlan, in a case where a person stole or robbed. So he robbed it and then it died. You don't get away with paying the animal and then just, you know, add the difference. You don't do that. You pay 100%, because after all, you took an animal. And that's what you're obligated to return, a full animal, a healthy animal. You can't just, you know, give him broken pieces and pay the rest. El Nizakin, this is unique for Mazik, because Mazik, you know, he didn't actually steal anything. He damaged, he injured, right? He brought down the value of that item. So that's what he's responsible to do. He has to make up for lost value. Here, take the Nevela and I'll pay the rest. Vani Oyman Shmuel adds, you know what, my opinion is, af l'shoyel. The same applies to a borrower of an item. Now, what did he mean? We'll see in a minute. The Abba Maitli. In fact, Abba, this was an endearing term to Rav, regarding Rav. Rav agrees with me. He's on my side. Now, what do you mean to say regarding Shoyel? Iboilu. So the Bnei Yeshiva were wondering what he meant. Hachigama, did he mean to say af l'shoyel shaman, just like we do this concept of shuma, where you praise the injured and the damaged goods, and apply it to the credit of the mazik? Does that apply to a shoyel as well? You borrow a car and it breaks down, you can give him back the car, get credit for that, and pay the rest. V'abba moideli, and Rab is in agreement with me on that. Or perhaps, the other way around. That just like by Gadav and Gazlan, we don't do this Shuma system. Same thing with Shoyel, because when he borrowed that item, he undertook full responsibility to return it as is. No broken pieces. V'abba moideli, and Rab agrees with me on that as well. So which way? Yes or no? By Shoyel. Tashma, I'll bring a raya that it's no. Taugavra, this fellow, the Shoyel, Narga Mechavra, he borrowed an axe from his friend. Tavri broke it out of negligence. Pshia, he's fully responsible. Ozel Kamei the Rav, he comes to Rav. Amal Yizil Shlim Le Narga Malga. He says, you know what? You're a Shoyel. You're responsible. Right? Whatever happens to it is totally your responsibility. Even if it was Ba'inus, right? Pay him a full axe. Get him a new axe. You can't return, the broken axe and just pay him the difference. Tashram. You know, in Shamin, that proves that Shuma does not apply to Shoyel. Adrav, just the opposite. Mita'am, relate Rav Kahana, Ravasi, L'Rav. The Talmid, Rav Kahana, Ravasi, turned to Rav after issuing this verdict, and he said, what do you mean, Dina Hachi? This is the way the halacha was said, meaning, why not? V'shasak and Rav remained silent. Shema mino Shamin. So in fact, we seem to perceive that Rav agreed with them that you can credit the damaged goods to the shoyel. Itma, we have a discussion. Amar Ula, Amar Belazar, Shaman L'ganav L'gazlan. Just like by Nizakin, the same by Ganav L'gazlan, we allow for return of damaged goods and repayment of the difference. Rav Papi Amar Ein Shaman, no. Vilchasa Ein Shaman, that's the Alocha L'ganav L'gazlan. Avol Shoyel, we do Shaman. Why? Because of Kahan Ravasi. Because of their response to Rav, they held that, unlike a Ganav Gazlan, who's totally responsible for the return of the actual item, a Shoyel is not responsible. He took it to use. He took responsibility. If it gets hurt, if it gets damaged, it gets broken, I got to pay the loss of value. Here, take the actual item, I'll pay the difference. So speaking about Ula, who quotes Rabbi Lazar, we have a string of halachas coming up from the same source, Ve'amar Ula, unrelated to halacha of Nezakin, but just because it's the same source. Ve'amar Ula, Amar Lazar, Shulya, you have this embryonic sack in which the fetus is housed. So this Shulya, Shiyotzisa Miktsasa, the Isha, gave partial birth. So the Shulya left the Isha, Miktsasa B'yem Rishon, Miktsasa B'yem Sheni, partially on Sunday, partially on Monday. And we know that when the Isha gives birth, it triggers the Yemei Tumah. She becomes Tamei. 2 months later, for let's say, 2 weeks by Yenikev, and then she switches to Yemei Tahara, which she's Tahar, even if she sees Dam. So what happens if there was a partial birth on Sunday and completed on Monday? Moinu la min harishon, we begin counting the Yemei Tumah. She's Tamei 2 months later, starting from Sunday. Why? Because we're Chayishish, we're concerned that perhaps in this Miktsas Shulya was contained most of the dissolved, vlad, fetus material, which constitutes a halachic leida, halachic birth, which makes her tummy 2 months later. Amalei Rav, it's Rav responds to him. This is really just an uncertainty. It's l'chumra. Ma daitech, why are you starting the count on Sunday? L'chumra. Because you're concerned that perhaps this constitutes a birth. Well, chumra, da'asi l'deikulu. You should know that it's a chumra which leads into a leniency, because the Kometaris Lamarishim, just like you're starting the Yemei Tumah on Sunday, you're advancing it to Sunday, well, in 2 weeks' time, you're going to start the Yemei Tahara a day earlier. Rather than starting from Monday's count, you're starting from Sunday's count. So it's true that it's a Chumrah for Yemei Tumah, but subsequently it's going to be a Kula for Yemei Tahara. Elam HaRav, says Rav, Lachush Chay Sheshes. Regarding Yemei Tumah, you start on Monday. On Sunday, you're Chay Shesh, that in fact it was a late on Sunday, but Mimna, but the actual count only begins on Monday. So basically, it's a chumrah on both sides. So the Yemei Tumah start a day early, but the Yemei Tahara only start a day later. So what's the point of this whole halacha? It's based on a premise that in every portion of that shulia, there's some presence of Vlad material. In which case we say, okay, maybe it was most of the Vlad material, in which case it was a Leda. Because were it not so, says Rashi, was there a tzad, was there room to think that, you know, a mitzvah shulia doesn't necessarily contain any Vlad material, maybe this part is just, you know, void, empty. Then you would not say this chumra, because then it would be a double suffix, a double uncertainty, a svek sveka. Maybe there's some Vlad in there, maybe there isn't. And if there is it the majority of the dissolved Vlad or not? So it's a double suffix, which would not present any concern. You know, throughout the whole Torah, we say svek sveka is not a problem. So the fact that we are concerned indicates that we are working with the fact, with the premise, that every drop of that shulia has some blood material. And then there's just one suffix. Is it 49% or 51%? So of mach. Well, if that's the chiddush tanina, we already have that discussed elsewhere in a mishnah. Shulia shiatsa mektsasa. So although when you shecht a behemoth, you find an unborn animal within it, that's called ben pekuah, you can eat it without shechita. But if there was a partial birth, shulia shiatsa mektsasa, asur b'achilos, even if it was a partial birth, only partially, and then came back to the animal, then you discovered that upon slaughtering the animal, you can't eat it. Because the shilya has part of the vlad, and that's a simon vlad b'isha, simon vlad b'behema, it's an indication of birth by the isha, by the behema. So this too, this halacha as well, is based on this premise that every drop of shilya has vlad. So why discuss it again? Well, even Masnis Navamina, if it's only from that Mishnah, I would say merely, really, the Yesh Mikta Shilya B'li Vlad. Perhaps a small portion of the Shilya doesn't necessarily contain any Vlad. And the reason why we don't allow you to eat the unborn animal found within the mother animal after Shechita is Midrabbanan. Ugzera Mikta Satakula. Because if you're going to allow that animal to be eaten, in a case where only part of the shilya left the animal because of this svara that it's a svek sveka, we don't know, we have no idea. What happens next time when the whole shilya leaves and comes back to the animal? You would still eat it upon the shkita of the mother, which of course is not allowed, because in that case it's a full birth. So it's from the rabbanon. One situation might lead to the other, and therefore it's asr. But who says that this halacha is based on a premise that every drop of shilya has vlad? There it's a gzera derabon, so it's asr. But back in our story with the isha, there would be no room for a gzera. Rashi explains, you know why? Everybody sees. On Monday when the isha gave birth, mazel tov. Oh, now it's a real birth. People will realize. So even if you discount Sunday's partial birth, people won't make that mistake, won't misunderstand. They won't walk away with a false perception that if most of the, or all the vlad comes out, it's not a late. Of course, you see some Monday, ah, mazel tov. We start the count of the melee, right? So here there's no room for any confusion. So perhaps over here you would not make her tummy. So in the case of the behemoth, there's no malal tov. You shechted her on the first day, right? After this experience happened, this mitzvah shul, you shechted the animal. So there's no sort of event that highlights the fact that were it to have come out entirely, it would be different. So therefore there's a gezeira, maybe this thing might lead to the next. But by isha you don't have that concern, because everybody sees it's pretty clear and evident that when the child's fully born, oh, now it's a real birth. So there wouldn't be no room for concern, no gzera, but for the reason that we said before, because Ulas quotes Rabbi Lazar, which is based on the premise that, yep, every drop of shilya contains some vlad material, which case is a concern, and maybe it was most of the vlad, and she's tummy 2 months later. V'amar Ula, Amar Rabbi Lazar, not halacha, the same man domar. V'chor, shenitraf b'seich l'amid, yoyim, yin pay denoisim. If a firstborn, a newborn, a B'chair Adam, who's meant to be redeemed using 5 selah to the Kohen, was attacked, was killed within 30 days of birth. Ain Poid Noise, there's no concept of Pidin HaBen. And Rashi says, it goes without saying that if he died naturally, then it's evidence that he was not really a viable child. Of course, he's Pater from Pidin HaBen. The Chiddush is, even though he was attacked and died unnaturally, you're still Pater. B'chain Tani, Rami Bar Chama, Be'er Braiso, B'tach Shanem, Ar Padei Sifta. The fact that the pasuk sort of doubles the lashon padei tifta, perhaps I would say even this case is obligated. Yochel af vilu nitraf b'seich lamed yom tamad loymar, comes the pasuk ach. It says ach b'char ach padei sifta, ach is sort of a chilek. It discounts only in some cases, but this type of situation does not require pidin abe. Ve'amar ulo, Rabbi Lazar, not halacha. Ve'emagasa, a behema from a large species. Niknis b'mashicha, how do you acquire the behema? Through mashicha, you bring the behema, you pull it along. That's called mashicha and yukaina. Ve'anant non mesira. We have a Mishnah which says that you don't need to do mashicha, even mesira. The handing over of the reins of the animal to the buyer is enough. So why does Rabbi Lazar say Mashiach is required? He's following a different shita. Shita's Chachamim. The Sani, you have a Braisa, a Chamayim, a Mezuzah, a Mashiach, whether it's a Behema Daka, Behema Gasa, you need to do Mashiach. All types of animals are only acquired through Hagbah, through lifting. The Gemara in Pedushin asks, well, how do you acquire an elephant? How could you lift an elephant? Gemara says, Chavile is Meiris, bundles of reeds, to Pshatim there. Either you have the animal climb up the bundle of reeds, that's called Hagbah, even though it's not directly you're doing. Well, as Tosis explains, you sort of entice it, you tempt it. You hang the reeds up in the air, and the animal, the elephant, lifts itself up, and that's called Hagbah. Ve'omar ul omar blazer. Ha'achen shechalku. You have brothers who are ready to divide their father's estate, their father's Yerusha. Masha'alein shaman. So, you know, all along they were sort of getting dressed and using the estate for their own, you know, needs. They were buying clothing and all that. So we go ahead and we appraise even the clothing that they're wearing, and that gets applied, that gets sort of, you know, deducted from their portion, right? We don't do that regarding clothing that the children are wearing, Rashi explains, because, you know, little kids are not summoned to the bezin, it's not the derech. So it's assumed that they sort of forgive the children's wardrobes. And that doesn't get discounted from their chelik, from the Yerusha. And we're speaking about the iktanim, says the Mordechai, the iktanim. Amar Papa, pa'amim af ma'ashalein in sham. You know, sometimes even the actual, you know, adult's clothing are not accounted for. How? Mishkachas lo begadol achi. For instance, you know, the elder brother who represents them, he's the lawyer, the nichalu de l'shtam mila, he represents them and represents the estate, so they're okay with him getting dressed nicely and formally, respectfully, and they're not going to hold it against him, they're not going to discount it from his portion. If a fellow was entrusted with an item, please watch my cow, and he goes and transfers that item to somebody else to watch, and something goes wrong, okay, it gets stolen, Potter. So the first fellow, Reuven, who gave it to Shimon is Potter because he's a Shem Rechinim, he wasn't getting paid for his services. And just as if it would have been stolen by him, he would be Potter. Same thing if it happens by Shimon. He's not more responsible than if it were sitting by him. And it goes without saying, if he actually benefited the owner by doing this transfer, Shem Rechinim, Shem Aslo, Shem Esachar, Reuven was doing this as a favor, and he handed it to Shimon for pay. In that case, it's a much better deal for the owner. He heightened the level of security because Shimon is getting paid. He's more committed. Certainly it works. But even if it were the other way around, Reuven was getting paid and he handed it to Shimon for free. Which is a downgrade in terms of Shimon's commitment, in terms of the level of protection. Now, even in this case, it's Potter Shari Musal Ben Das, because Reuven says, look, I gave it to a responsible person. Don't hold it against me. Rava disagrees. Rava Amar, I asked you to do it, not him. Shema Shemasal Shemer Ischayev. V'loy miboy Shemasacha Shemasal Shemechinam. And certainly, if Reuven was getting paid, and now he relegated it to Shimon, who's doing it as a free service, the Gruy Garli Shemarasa, which is a downgrade in terms of the commitment, in terms of the level of protection, of course, Reuven is Chayev. But even if it were the other way around, he gave it to Hashem Masacha, so he upgraded the level of Shmir Chayev, Yischayev, and Rashi says, even if it was an Oynes, if a total accident happened. You know why? Because the owner can tell his good friend Reuven, At Mehemnas L'Gishvur. You know, I have no idea. Maybe he was careless. So typically, you make a Shvur, you swear, you make an oath to protect your reputation, to establish your story. I don't trust him. I trusted you, not him. At mehemnas libishvur. When you make a shua, I believe you. Hi, loy mehemel be shua, I don't trust him. Ve'amar ulo marvelaser. Another halacha. Hilchasa. Goyvin men avadim. Halacha is, just as a creditor, a bank, can go and collect from properties of the loyva who defaulted on his loan, you can also go and access his slaves, his eved kanani. Because an eved has a din of karka, it's like real estate. You have an actual ownership, inherent ownership in the eved, he's part of your estate. Amrali Rav Nachman Ulus, Rav Nachman asked him, Amrav Lazar Filmi Yasmi, you quoted your blessing, right? And he maintained that the Baal Chayv can go and access the avadim of even orphans after the father's passing, just as he can access the properties that were left over. So, the halacha is that Yisraelim are not committed, are not obligated to repay their father's loan, except if the father left behind an estate, real estate, but not when it comes to just commodities and belongings and the tatlan. So here, you seem to say that avadim are treated like karka with respect to collection from the Yisraelim on their father's, you know, bill? So he says, no, loy. I meant from the actual borrower. I didn't mean Yisraelim. Well, you need to tell me that a bank could go repossess the avadim of a borrower? Of course. I feel a miglima dal kaspe. They can even take the shirt off his back. So what's the point of discussing avadim? Hachav my skin and was speaking sh'asoy apoytiki. He sold the eved, but he made him an apoytiki to the bank. Apoytiki, says Rashi, stands for three words. Apoy teheika, your loan is positioned on this item. This is now earmarked for collection in case I default. Could the Rava, as Rava says, the Amar Rava, so Abdei Poitiki Machri. If a borrower labels the eved as an apoytiki and then he goes and sells them. Can the Baal Chayv collect? Yes, Baal Chayv goyve himenu, just as the Baal Chayv can collect real estate which was sold, can do the same with the avadim. Sharia apoytiki machir, but if the shor, his ox, was turned into apoytiki and that was sold, and Baal Chayv goyve himenu, Baal Chayv has no right to access that. You know why? Because poor buyer, he has no idea, he had no clue that this thing was earmarked for the bank. My time, maha islay kolam, when you do that to an eved, everybody knows, oh, this eved is not apoytiki, be aware, keep away. This guy owes a lot of, don't buy his avadim. If you did so, it's at your own risk, and the Baal Chayv has the right to access it. But when it comes to, you know, an ox, that's not something which is a notable item, and just because you turned it into apaytiki, it's not commonly known, and therefore you cannot hold the buyer accountable for buying this item, and therefore the Baal Chayv has no right to repossess the eved. Now, this was part of the discussion between Rav Nachman and Ula, because Ula presented that eved is eligible for repossession. Rav Nachman asked him, what do you mean, from Yisraelim as well? He said, no. I mean, if he sold it, if he made him a poitiki, and then he sold him, and Tosfos says, in this case, even if it's from Yisraelim, once you made him a poitiki, it's sort of bound and committed to the father's loan. So it's a special case because of the apoytiki factor. But otherwise, no, eved is not treated like karka. Lebasa the nafax, after Rav Nachman left the room, Amar Ula, so Ula turns to the people around him. You should know, Hachi Amar Abelazar. You remember I quoted Abelazar? That he can be given from Avadim? Guess what? Afilu miyasmi. He really meant that the Baal Chayv can go to the Yisraelim and collect an eved of the father? To be applied to the debt, the father's debt. Even Yisraelim have that obligation, because just as you can access the karka of Yisraelim, likewise an eved is like karka. So I didn't say this in front of Rav Nachman, but truthfully, Rav Elazar equated an eved to karka. Amar Rav Nachman. So now Rav Nachman heard about this follow-up discussion. He said, "Ishtamt in Ula." Ula was, you know, sort of sidestepping me. He was avoiding me. He didn't want to tell me the full halacha, concerned that I would go and challenge him. Because Rav Nachman held that eved is not like karka. Hava uvda ben Ardo, in fact, it was a story in Ardo regarding the Baal Chayv who wanted to access the avodim due to their father's loan. Va'adbu tayonah ben Ardo, dayonah ben Ardo allowed him to repossess the avodim. They treated avodim like karka. Same story, Hava uvda b'pum v'disa, same thing, va'adbe. Rav Chana bar Bizna, and Rav Chana allowed the Balchoyev to collect the Avadim. Amar Rav Nachman, it's not Rav Nachman who disagreed with this, turned to them and said, look, Zilo Adura, quickly, return the Avadim to the Yisraelim. Viloy, otherwise, Magbina Luchla Padnaich, I'm going to have them repossess your, foreclose your palace, your large homes. Basically, Rav Nachman disagreed. Eved is like Metatlan. And Metatlan of Yisraelim are not accessible to the Baal Chayv. Homily Rabbi Rav Nachman. There's another couple of lines. Rabbi turns to Rav Nachman. Where are you coming from? We have so many opinions of all that Eved is like Karka. Ha'ula, Ha'rabu Lazar, Ha'dayin Adan Arda, Ha'rucham Rar Bizna. Right, they all hold Eved is like Karka. Mar Kaman Svirli. Where are you coming from? Where's your source to disagree with them? Amar Leis, he says, I have a source. Ana Masni Sayyidana. I have a brisa that Eved is like Metatlan. We continue Be'ez Hashem tomorrow. Okay, so in summary, we discussed Pchas Nevela. We thought it was Machlekes Tanoim. We said, no, everybody agrees. Pchas Nevela is on the Nizik's account. The question is, Torach Nevela, who has to bring the Nevela to the, back to town or out of the bar? That's the Machlekes. We learned about allowing the Mazik to, give back the injured animal, the carcass, the broken goods, and just pay the rest. That's a halacha by Mazik. Regarding Ganam and Gazlan, we say no, not allowed. And regarding Shoyel, it's allowed as well. We learned that the halacha about Shildia, Shiatsa Mektsasa, halacha Pidin Aben, Mesira by the Behemagasa, the Achen Shecholka with the clothing, Shem Shemas Loshem Machlaikis. When we started the Sugya of whether we regard Avadim Kananim, as a form of real estate, of karka, or simply like every other one of your belongings. Hatzlach rabba to you and b'suras teves.